Behind the Arc. A look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc. Hear about the week's biggest storylines. From blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc. Here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for taking the time to check out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the Behind the Arc podcast. It has been a big couple of weeks for Tennessee since the NCAA tournament ended and the college basketball season ended about 10 days ago. Tennessee had two hard commits at the tail end of the season, two signees with Jemai Meshack and Kennedy Chandler in its 2021 recruiting class. Tennessee has added three commitments and a transfer, including a pair in each of the last 2 days to help out that front court. The conversation on this podcast and really around Tennessee basketball as a whole has been, okay, you got Kennedy Chandler coming in. That's great. You got Jemai Meshack. That's cool. You've got likely Josiah Jordan James coming back, Santiago Vescovi, Victor Bailey Jr. You've got some dudes coming back, but what's the conversation going to be about that front court? Eve Pons, likely gone. John Fulkerson, we don't know yet. I will say I do think it's more likely that he comes back now than it was a month ago, but I still think Fulkerson is more likely to not come back, but I think that has more to do with the way that his senior season ended, taking that elbow to the face from Omar Payne, which led to him not being able to play in the rest of the Florida game, not being able to play in the SEC tournament semifinal game against Alabama. So to me, I think that has more to do with, you know, just how his season ended. I think it's a bit of a Colin Gillespie sort of deal. So I think what's going to ultimately happen is that Fulkerson will decide to move on, but again, there's nothing clear about that, and we're still waiting on an official decision, and the fact that it's taken this long already, I think maybe gives fans some hope that he might decide to return, but if I still had to guess, I would say that he's still planning on moving on. But that has led to the conversation and the speculation about the 2021 Tennessee men's basketball team being about what is Tennessee going to do up front. Because even with Fulkerson and Pons, Tennessee still struggled there. Tennessee didn't get the contributions it needed out of transfers Juroš Plavšić or EJ Anasicki. And Olivier Cumwa, while he's improved, still not showing signs that he can take over a starting role at the four or the five spot and having to be there in a full capacity where he's having to play 25 to 30 minutes a game. Drew Pember has opted to move on and go elsewhere. Corey Walker, he's transferring without ever playing a single second of action for Tennessee. And so Tennessee, earlier in the week, managed to get back-to-back commitments on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday, center out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Jonas Adu, 6'11", 215, a four-star recruit who is a top 60 recruit in the 2021 recruiting class in the country. The 247 composite ranking has him as the 59th ranked overall recruit, the 8th ranked center, and the number one player out of the state of North Carolina. So a four-star center committed to Tennessee that gave Tennessee a 6'11 body to work with. And he has some things that he needs to work on. Again, 6'11, 215. So you're going to want to see him bulk up on some size there, a little too lean, I think, for somebody that's 6'11, but we've seen Tennessee have success with a similar 6'11 lean man in recent years with Kyle Alexander and how much he improved over his time at Tennessee. And for Adu, he joined Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hyams, and you'll hear Adu now. This is him talking about what he believes his strengths are and then following that up with what he needs to improve upon.
My strengths, as of right now, I feel like I can finish pretty well and stretch the floor for my size pretty well. And I feel like I can block and alter shots at the rim. I want to work on being more mobile, of course, and just getting stronger and putting more weight on my body.
So you hear right there Jonas kind of acknowledging, hey, I want to put some more weight on my body. I want to get bigger. I want to fill out and work on my mobility a little bit more. So we We know what Jonas can do as a defender. He believes that he can alter shots at the rim. That's going to be really important for Tennessee, especially with Rick Barnes wanting to continue having defensive success. And so you look at that, and that should give you a lot of hope if you're Tennessee, that Tennessee's being able to bring in not just transfers, but true freshmen and get highly touted recruits to be able to join this recruiting class. So Jonas Adu, 59th ranked recruit in the country. Jamai Meshack, by the way, now sits at 64. So Tennessee now has four top 65 recruits in the 2021 recruiting class. And that is because, along with Kennedy Chandler, Brandon Huntley Hatfield became the second five-star commitment to Tennessee in this recruiting class. The power forward out of Pennsylvania, 6'9", 230 pounds, committed to Tennessee earlier on Thursday morning, the 7th-ranked power forward in the country, 21st-ranked recruit overall according to the 247 composite, and the number one player out of the state of Pennsylvania, announced his commitment earlier Thursday morning and reclassified. So Tennessee ends up getting him in the class of 2021, and just a fantastic get for Rick Barnes to be able to have two bigs where you're hoping, okay, they're not going to have to handle absolutely everything. Tennessee might have to play a smaller lineup at times, and hopefully you've got the leadership and the experience in the backcourt to help you do that. But to be able to get some bigs in this class, not just through the transfer portal, that's major. That's a really, really big deal for Tennessee. The 247 Sports Director of Basketball Scouting, Jerry Meyer, had this to say about Huntley Hatfield. He said, quote, Brandon has a quintessential power forward body with length, strength, and density. Power-based athlete, high-level body control for a player his size, can score from all three levels, very comfortable with the ball. He has functional ball handling skills that produce buckets and scoring range, can get to the basket efficiently, loves to go left as a righty, so he's got some versatility, has ability to dominate his area as a rebounder, improving as a defender is a proper area of focus. So needs to get better as an on-ball defender, but the fact that he can help Tennessee on the boards, that's an area where Tennessee struggled throughout the SEC portion of the schedule this past season. The fact that he is versatile with the ball in his hands, that he can drive, that he isn't afraid to use his left hand. At Tennessee, we saw last year, it was kind of talked about a lot, how many southpaws Tennessee had on its roster, but to have a right-handed player that's willing to go left and score in multiple ways is going to help Tennessee a lot, because Tennessee needs an inside scoring presence. They need to continue to get rim protection, especially now that Eve Pons is gone, but it's going to help a whole lot that Tennessee has two incoming bigs that are solid rim protectors, but also need some help on the glass as well. That's an area that I think bit Tennessee a lot, especially in some games where they just kept giving up extra possessions and were getting outshot because they were unable to prevent teams from grabbing offensive boards. So you add that in with Kennedy Chandler, who's the 13th ranked recruit in the 247 composite, number two point guard in the country. By some outlets, he's considered the number one true point guard, number one player in the state, and just finished up a run to the Geico National Championship with Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas, as they went down to the Geico National Championship in Fort Myers and lost in the final. Jamai Meshack is a four-star small forward out of California. And then Quentin Dibunji, who committed to Tennessee last week out of France, he has officially signed. He was unrated at the time, originally from France, had been playing at Montverde Academy in Florida, which actually beat Sunrise Christian in the national championship game. He has been given a three-star rating, so a three-star shooting guard, 6'6", 185, and look, three stars, Rick Barnes knows how to work with them. So a recruiting class like this gives Tennessee a lot to work with. So Tennessee has had four of its six incoming players already sign their letter of intent. Justin Powell, of course, is the transfer, the three-star, 6'5", 180. Listed as a point guard, could probably see him play a lot of the two. Didn't get to play a whole lot at Auburn due to concussion issues, but was a really solid outside shooter. And then, of course, you have Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who just announced his commitment earlier today, was originally not certain if he was going to go to Tennessee or if he was going to go somewhere else, was originally set to graduate in the class of 2022, instead reclassifies and is going to join Tennessee in this class. And then Jonas Adu was originally committed to Marquette And you all know about the coaching change that happened. Steve Wojciechowski got fired last month. They ended up hiring Shaka Smart after he decided to leave Texas after Texas lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So Adu was originally committed to Marquette. He opened his recruitment after Wojciechowski got fired. So not so much to do with Shaka Smart as just he decided, you know, I was committed to Wojciechowski's staff, so I'm going to open up my recruitment. Rick Barnes managed to get him, and that's a big help for Tennessee. So Tennessee now has a recruiting class featuring 2 5-stars, 2 4-stars, and 2 3-stars, one of which has shown that he can play basketball at the SEC level already. So for the 5 new incomers, the incoming freshmen, Tennessee now has a top 15 point guard, or arguably the number one point guard in the country, the number one player in the state of Pennsylvania, and a top 10 power forward and a top 25 recruit overall, a top 60 center who is one of the top 10 centers in the entire country and the number one player out of the state of North Carolina, and then a top 5 player from the state of California, Jemai Meshack, who's considered the 11th ranked small forward in the country and a top 65 recruit overall, and then a 3-star, Quinton Dabunji, who is a top 300 recruit. But when you consider everything else that Tennessee has coming with it, that's a really solid recruiting class. The 247 Sports Composite Rankings have updated their team rankings, and Tennessee was sitting, for a while, was sitting outside the top 30 when it only had 2 recruits. But now Tennessee, with 5 commitments and an incoming transfer, Tennessee now has the 2nd ranked recruiting class in the country. And Tennessee, just one of 3 teams that has multiple 5-star commitments, the other 2 being Michigan and Duke. And Duke might actually still be in line to get another one, based on, depending on the decision of Patrick Baldwin Jr., though it is expected that he's not going to choose the Blue Devils. But Duke's still in the running for another top-tier recruit in this recruiting class. So we'll see what Coach K can pull out there. But it's been a whirlwind for Tennessee to be able to climb that high after just having an explosive 2 weeks on the recruiting trail as soon as Tennessee season ended, in just unfortunate fashion with a first-round loss in the NCAA tournament. So looking at the top 10 in the 247 composite team rankings right now, Michigan with 6 commits is number 1. Tennessee with 5 is number 2. Florida State is 3. Duke is number 4. Kansas at 5. Kentucky at 6. Gonzaga at 7. Gonzaga also has the number 1 player in the country committed in Chet Holmgren. Michigan State is number 8. Baylor is number 9. Alabama is number 10. So 3 SEC teams in that top 10, including Kentucky, which is the usual suspect, and then the reigning SEC champion, Alabama, is 1 spot behind the defending national champion, Baylor Bears, in the recruiting rankings. Going down the rest, looking for the SEC schools, Texas A&M with 3 commits is number 25. That includes 1 5-star. Ole Miss has 4 commitments. They are number 24. LSU is 31. Auburn is 34. South Carolina, 38. Missouri at 39. Mississippi State at 43. And those are the SEC teams that are in the top 50. But Tennessee, the 2nd ranked recruiting class in the country, obviously with the transfer portal, so many kids still up for grabs and still a couple of players that have not made their decision yet. These rankings can change, but regardless of what happens, this is an incredibly, incredibly solid recruiting class for Tennessee, even if it falls back in the rankings. But assuming nothing changes with Tennessee's personnel, and I think Tennessee's still going to continue to be looking through the transfer portal to be able to work out some numbers, gain some more experience, especially in the front court, this is a really solid class for Rick Barnes and Tennessee. It's a job well done. So how is Tennessee being looked at in terms of early expectations in the next year? We'll talk about what that could look like coming up next, but Tennessee picking up a couple of big commits, 6'11" center Jonas Adu and 6'9" power forward Brandon Huntley Hatfield Vols with the 2nd ranked recruiting class in the country, according to the 247 composite rankings. More basketball talk coming up next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. So after the season ended, Tennessee was kind of being ranked between that 20 to unranked range in a lot of way too early top 25 polls. I think Gary Parrish of CBS Sports in his top 25 and 1 in his Never Too Early edition right after the season ended, he initially had Tennessee at number 20, and he's had Tennessee going backwards over the past week or so. Now, He has Tennessee at 25, having dropped from 24 from earlier in the week, and that was back on Tuesday, but I would expect this to improve with the decision of Adu and Hunley Hatfield both coming on board to join the 2021 recruiting class. So Tennessee kind of being considered a team that could be just on the outside looking in or expected to be a ranked team. ESPN, as soon as the NCAA tournament ended, released its way too early top 25 poll. It had Tennessee at number 26. They had Tennessee the first team listed in the next in line category. I would expect Tennessee to be ranked. I don't think Tennessee will necessarily be a top 12 team to start the year like it was this past season. I don't think teams will be talking about Tennessee with Final Four potential, especially because when you look at it, obviously the recruiting class is very exciting, but Tennessee had a top five recruiting class this past season, featuring two five-star freshmen who played significant minutes, were very solid for Tennessee, and are both going to be first-round picks in the NBA draft. It also returned a leader in John Fulkerson and the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year in Eve Pons. Well, Tennessee was kind of a disappointment this season. Tennessee finished fourth in the SEC in the regular season, managed to make the semifinals, really had a chance to knock off Alabama and was unable to close the door, and then lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament as a five seed. So I would throw caution to the wind just in terms of keep in mind, Tennessee is still having to replace four of its top five scorers from last year. And it's great that Tennessee has all these great recruits coming in, but they have to be able to fill big roles immediately and then excel what Tennessee did this past season in order for Tennessee to take a step forward within the program. And I don't think it's going to be as much of a rebuild as it was looking like it was going to be a month ago, because Tennessee's recruiting class has improved so much and having Justin Powell will certainly help. But I do think that for Tennessee, you're going to need some young guys. They're going to have to do some big things. And what we saw this past season, Tennessee was relying on the freshmen a lot. That ultimately wasn't enough to carry Tennessee to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. So while I do believe that it's going to be a lot about, okay, what can happen with, you know, this team? What's the potential? I think Tennessee can show that it has a high potential, but I think the plateau is going to be expected to be lower. I don't think Tennessee is going to go into this season with the expectation that it's going to be an Elite Eight team or anything like that. I think Tennessee is going to have to be a team that plays its way into that conversation. If these freshmen turn out to play really well, if Justin Powell shows that he's a really nice fit, and Josiah Jordan James, Santiago Vescovi, Victor Bailey Jr., who else is left or returning from last year, if those guys all show, hey, we are ready to take bigger roles and we can help this team progress in the right direction, then you start having that conversation about, okay, well, maybe Tennessee is a Sweet 16 type team or something of that nature. So to look at Tennessee, a lot more optimism, admittedly, than there was a few weeks ago, because we were having the conversation earlier on Sports 180, which you can hear every weekday from 12 to 3. And, you know, it was kind of thrown out. Well, should the expectation be that Tennessee is a top three SEC team? And this was before Adu and Hunley Hatfield had committed. And I'm thinking, well, without an inside presence, I just don't see how you're going to be realistically expected to contend with Alabama, Arkansas. Kentucky's likely going to be back. They're widely expected to be a ranked team again after another top 10 recruiting class. I mean, you don't really, that's not something that you expect to happen every year where that team's just going to be down and out. So the SEC is going to continue to be tough. Mike White, I'm curious about Florida, because I've kind of harped on Mike White a lot. I think that there's been times where he just hasn't done a good job coaching the Florida Gators. But this past season, without Keontae Johnson, and at times without Scotty Lewis, and at times without Colin Castleton, they did a really nice job. I mean, he did a really excellent job to be able to hold that thing together, get that team to a seven seed in the SEC in the NCAA tournament, a five seed in the SEC tournament, and then they won a tournament game. So I think, and obviously the way their season ended was disappointing, blowing that lead to Oral Roberts when they should have gone to the Sweet 16. The ending is obviously bad, but Mike White did an excellent job. If you had said at the time that Keontae Johnson goes down and is lost for the year, if you had told Florida fans in December, you're going to finish top five in the SEC and you're going to win an NCAA tournament game, you would have taken it. You would have taken that in a heartbeat. So obviously work cut out for them there still, but I'm curious to see some of these other teams. Ole Miss, can they take a step forward under Kermit Davis? What can LSU do? What sort of talent is LSU going to have back for next season? What sort of recruiting job does Will Wade do to be able to hold all of that together? So I think there are some things to really look into about what Tennessee could potentially do. And then does Auburn play into the mix as well? So I think for Tennessee, top three in the SEC, I think that's a solid goal. I don't know if that's the expectation, because I don't think Alabama and Arkansas are going anywhere. And I think Nate Oates and Eric Musselman are going to continue to do a really good job with those programs. And if Kentucky bounces back, then it just makes getting into the top three that much tougher for everybody else. I really appreciate you taking the time to check out the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, big news that we should have probably mentioned as well in terms of the shakeup of what next season could look like. UCLA has a lot of potential, because if Johnny Juzang returns, then pretty much everybody is going to come back from last season, and they're going to add five-star recruit Peyton Watson. So there's going to be a lot of hype around the Bruins because of what they were able to do in the NCAA tournament by going to the Final Four. And then earlier this week, Colin Gillespie and Jermaine Samuels both announced that they are going back to Villanova. Colin Gillespie dealt with that knee injury late in the season, so they are going to return four of their top five scorers from a team that won the Big East by multiple games. Keep that in mind. I mean, the standings were not close in the regular season, so Jay Wright, he's going to have a team that is going to be expected to compete for his third national championship. It's a real possibility, and I know that was the thought going into this past season, but they dealt with COVID multiple times, Jay Wright himself included. They dealt with injuries. Another year for these guys to be able to come back. I think Villanova is a team that should garner a lot of national attention going into next season. Thank you again for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Joel Silverberg. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button, leave a five-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.